actually we're made up, we're a collective of students, activists, mothers, organizers, people from the community who love this music. This music is Son Jarocho from Southern Veracruz. And we actually come out of Isa Cafe, and that's why we go. Las Cafeteras, majority of us are women. You know, but now we're born from one, so it's all good. So, and then that's it. So we're happy to bring you on and share this music. And we're very thankful that he's out of this today. Gracias.
Somos parte del colectivo aquí de Son Jarocho. Nacimos de este espacio para aprender la música que se toca en Veracruz. Y pues estamos muy contentos de poder estar aquí con ustedes y con el compañero Juana.
Welcome everybody to the Eastside Cafe. It's great to have you here. ¿Alguien necesita traducción? ¿Necesitas traducción? Somebody like to sit up with her?
Oh, en español.
De al español, sí. So Cristina va a venir a traducirte. Okay. Anybody else needs translation? ¿Alguien más necesita traducción al español? Okay. Muy bien. So, welcome to the Eastside Cafe. We're very happy that you're here, and we're very happy to host this event of the Southern California tour of Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio. This is part of their tour, and tonight there's another event, the last event. Today is the last day. The event tonight is at 6 p.m. at the
Echo Park Film Center,
and they're going to be showing a video about their participation in La Otra Campaña and a response from El Subcomandante Marcos. So if you have time, definitely go and check it out. For those who don't know the Eastside Cafe, we are an autonomous space here in El Sereno. We believe that we have the power and the knowledge, the community has the power and the knowledge to decide our destiny. We are self-governed, self-determined. We are not a nonprofit. We don't receive money from foundations. So it's always hard to pay the rent. So we have a sustainership program that if you would like to be part of it, talk to me later. We have several collectives working out from the Eastside Cafe. We have the Jaraneros, the Cafeteras, several classes of San Jarocho. We have ESL classes, Spanish classes, and the Eastside Cafe hosts different groups and different collectives of the community. I want to let you know that there's some shirts that we're selling for the tour, Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio. We also have tostadas, and whatever we make from the tostadas will be towards the rent of the Eastside Cafe. And what else do I have to say? They told me to say so many things that maybe I forget. Well, I guess this is it. I'm very happy that you're here, and I'm very happy that Juan is here because we share the same principles, the principles of the Eastside Cafe with the principles of the Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio. We are both Zapatista inspired. We both believe in autonomy and horizontality, that everybody knows everything in the community. So please help me to welcome Juan Caro from Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio.
Good afternoon. Once again, my name is Juan, and I'm coming from New York on behalf of Movement for Justice in the Barrio. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the Eastside Cafe for hosting us this afternoon, and also especially to the comité that's been organizing a tour. If maybe like the members of the comité that organized the tour could please raise their hand just so that we recognize who did all this great work to get us here. Once again, I'm here on behalf of Movement for Justice in El Barrio. Movement for Justice in El Barrio is an immigrant of color-led organization based out of East Harlem, New York City. We're made up of 400 community members that reside all in this neighborhood known as El Barrio. Unfortunately, most of our members couldn't make it. Well, actually, our membership could not make it here this afternoon and this week because of the fact that most of them are undocumented immigrants, and things are getting worse at the airports in terms of domestic travel. They really wanted to be here. The committee was willing to support their presence here, yet they weren't able to do it because there was too much risk involved. Yet what we've done is we brought a couple of videos because to us as an organization it's very important that the people who are leading the struggle, that they be the ones speaking at these events, whether it's in New York City, whether it's anywhere in the US or abroad. So because of that, I'd like to start off by letting our members speak for themselves. This is a short 10-minute video where our members talk about their struggle. It's a march that took place a couple of months ago in our neighborhood. So here you go.
Fuel Radio, non-corporate, non-soundbite, non-violent, and Paramount News. Like I say, I don't have the video. I just have the audio, so I can't do interpretation for you. But there is some English, I believe, in this. Very important movement. Please support them. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Para todos, alto al racismo, queremos salvar nuestro. sus miserables cerebros solo tienen sed de riqueza, sed de poder. Hoy el coraje y la decepción nos hacen más fuertes. Sinceramente, movimiento por justicia del barrio, el movimiento que mueve corazones.
I'm proud to see that we all have come together as one to fight back against these building offices. We have been a melting pot of all ethnic groups for decades and have lived in the conditions in our buildings and surrounding areas, sending our kids to your school, shopping in our own stores, and giving back to the neighborhood while still paying taxes for neglected sidewalks and security from our local police officers. It is time for the elected politicians to recognize our plight and our fight for decent housing and stop giving us promises that have not been kept.
Simple and humble people who reside in the barrio. many of the members that you see here are tenants who are actually the founders of the organization. The organization started in December of 2004, fighting against neoliberal gentrification. At that point in the barrio, the city was facilitating gentrification that was being initiated by slumlords, by multinational corporations, and what was happening was our community was being pushed out, was being forced out of their homes. Like the compañeros there said, street vendors who were working to make an honorable living were being also kicked out of the neighborhood. Small mom and pop stores, restaurants were also being eliminated. And so it got to the point where our community got fed up and said, enough is enough, we're gonna put an end to this. And that is when we began to organize building by building, block by block. And through this organizing, we launched a campaign against one of the worst landlords in New York City, a man named Stephen Kessler, multimillionaire, white slumlord who was extremely powerful. He owned 47 buildings all in our turf, all in our neighborhood. So imagine, he was very powerful. He had this very aggressive plan to force us out. Most of our membership base are tenants who live in these 47 buildings. Therefore, we began to organize committees. In each of these buildings owned by Stephen Kessler, we formed committees. And these committees operated under the principle of autonomy, self-determination, and participatory democracy. The tenants in each building would come together and democratically vote what strategy they wanted to implement against their slumlord. The conditions that the community was facing were deplorable. They were living in apartments where the ceiling was falling on their children's heads. There was lead poisoning on the walls that the children were consuming, were eating. There was no heat and hot water. These were the conditions that we were facing as a community. And we knew that this was part of Stephen Kessler's master plan to force us out of our neighborhood. There was other tactics that they were also using in an attempt to force us out, but our members decided to organize from the ground up. We launched and battled. We battled this guy for about 2 years or so, and through that, we used a multi-pronged strategy against this guy, which included protests, legal actions, marches, as the one you saw right now. And through this, we were able to achieve victory. After 2 years, the Village Voice newspaper, which is kind of like your LA Weekly, I believe, they went ahead and did this expose on Stephen Kessler. They named him one of the 10 worst landlords of New York City. And he sat down to an interview. He rarely did any interviews. So when he sits down for an interview, he says that his only headache was movement for justice in the barrio, but that he and his family, his company, had helped build East Harlem, that they had been there for decades, and that they weren't going anywhere. 3 months later, he picked up and sold his building and got out. So for us, this was a battle of David versus Goliath. For us, you know, here we have our members are predominantly immigrants of color. Many of them, as I said before, have no papers, no immigration status, and the majority of them are monolingual Spanish speaking. And so they decided to launch this battle against this guy, and he retaliated with death threats, threatening with bringing in immigration authorities. He had lots of tactics to retaliate against our community, but our members are fearless. The majority of our members are women, and they led the struggle. They were on the front lines every step of the way, and they weren't scared. They never panicked. They just continued struggling until they got rid of him. So here he has a situation where this white multimillionaire wanted to force us out, and instead we turned the tables on him, and immigrants of color came together and forced him out. We believe that this would not have been accomplished if it wasn't for the fact that we were very conscious that in order to make this change occur, that we needed to build leaders from the ground up. So as an organization, we're opposed to having one leader or one activist take the lead and speak for everyone else. We have an entire program in our organization dedicated to building leadership. And what that means is, for example, we have discussions around how to speak to the media, how to give a speech, how to give a public speech, how to get our neighbors involved in the fight. But at the same time, we also have really, we have curriculum, we have a program within the organization to ensure that we're talking about what are the root causes of our struggle. We talk about capitalism, we talk about neoliberalism, we talk about the fact that this is racism at play here. We also talk about what keeps us divided as a community. We talk about how in our organization, in our communities, there are divisions at play that only benefit the capitalists. That there's racial divisions, that there's gender divisions, that there's divisions based on sexual orientation, and that in order for us to not be hypocritical when we say that we're fighting for social justice, we need to talk about that and we need to address that, because not we're being hypocrites. Therefore, we're very explicitly having these conversations within the organization, but not only just talking about it, we practice what we preach. And in this next video that we're gonna show, it's gonna demonstrate how our organization decided to build bridges beyond El Barrio, beyond El Barrio, and bring together a diverse group of people that are also fighting the same struggle. Yet it might be happening in Chinatown or in the West Village, yet at the same time we understand that we all have a common enemy, and that the only way we're going to win, the only way we're going to effectively wage this battle successfully is by bringing our communities together. So therefore, inspired by the Zapatistas, we went ahead and organized the first New York City Encuentro for Dignity and Against Gentrification. We weren't sure what kind of response we were going to have. We put out the invitations for our members. They were like, you know, if we do this, we don't want it to be activist driven. For us, one of our challenges is joining coalitions, because oftentimes a lot of organizations that are on our side of the struggle are led by professional activists or professional organizers that really don't have a base. So for us, it was essential that if we were going to organize an encuentro, that it'd be an encuentro among our peers, meaning the simple and humble people of New York City. So in order to do that, we had to be very careful every step of the way, because or else it could become dominated by activists. So what we did is, for example, our members were like, well, how do we do this? How do we make this happen? Well, why don't we go ahead and incorporate a piñata? Why don't we have a piñata, a neoliberal gentrification piñata that would attract families, would attract children? Why don't we have dinner on a Sunday night, not on a weeknight, like oftentimes many organizations, nonprofits, or whatever, housing groups come together during weekdays, right? During the day, because that's convenient for the paid organizer on staff. And so our members were like, that's not gonna work. Most of our members, most of our community members, they are off on Sunday, if any. And usually it's in the evening. So this was like a deliberate plan to make this happen. We weren't 100% successful. We weren't 100% successful. In fact, the other thing we did was we did it through RSVP, and we issued tickets, four tickets per organization. So this was all part of this plan to kind of screen out all the activists. And so we did this. We accomplished some of it, right? But you know, our members were like, you know, we don't want to meet with a bunch of activists who like speak a whole different language, right? Speak a whole different like activist language. We want to meet with our own peers. So how do you make that happen? And that was a challenge that we think to a certain extent we met. But also it was our members saying, you know, we want to meet with the African American community that's also fighting this same problem we're fighting. We want to meet with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community in the West Village that we understand is also struggling against the same system. We want to meet with the Asian community in Chinatown. We want to get to know them, and the best way we felt we could accomplish this is to have this encuentro. So this is the New York City Encuentro for Dignity and Against Gentrification.
Junior Man, still knee deep in the sick of shit. He was a body remover. I'll give you a dose, but it can never come close to the rain. Builds up inside of me. Fist in the air in the land of hypocrisy. Movements come and movements go. Leaders think movements cease when the heads get blown. Cause all these folks, they got bullets in their heads. The prophets are police, the judges, the feds. Then what's it worth? Keep your people calm. And only when that's the king, when he spoke out of Vietnam. Turn the power to the have-nots, and they came to shock.
Profit for their reconstruction in order to survive. And that's not a system
that changes every 4 years. It's a system that we have to break down generation after generation after generation after generation.
This is the Kill Radio, non-corporate, non-soundbite, non-violent empowerment news. I'm your host, DJ Susti. We've been listening to Movement for Justice in the Barrio. That's a lecture that happened here at the Eastside Cafe here in El Sereno, a suburb of Los Angeles. They have a website at detodos-paratodos.blogspot.com. 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 And, okay, so that was, of course, Rage at the Coachella Festival with extra little lyrics, especially for the L.A. crowd. All right, so here, continuing on, a lot of some Spanish, but there's a Q&A coming up here that's pretty good, where people give examples of gentrification in their neighborhood, including a woman from KPFK, killradio.org, non-soundbite, non-violent empowerment news. Thanks for listening. Send us money.
Provide heat and hot water, they cut off services, take tenants to court for no reason, and harass them. This is really a citywide problem. For example, the building that Ms. Zhang lives in, her landlord actually helped gentrify Harlem, and then came down to Chinatown and bought buildings up in Chinatown. And so these are some of the conditions that we face.
This is a queer youth of color organizing project. We focus more on issues in the West Village that affect us as queer youth.
As some of you may know, the West Village has historically been a place, a safe place for LGBT people. The pier specifically has always been a place for LGBT youth of color to hang out. And what's happening now is that there's a lot of development, redevelopment, a lot of gentrification that's going on that's pushing out LGBT youth of color.
One of the struggles that we're facing now is the remodelization of Pier 40, which is on the West Side Highway right by Houston Street. Hudson River Park Trust is thinking about reconstructing the pier, and one of the options was Vegas on the Hudson, which would build casinos, hotels, and different entertainment venues for everybody else, which would displace LGBT youth of color in the West Village.
what's unique about our struggle is that our members don't live in the village. They come from other areas in the different boroughs, some from Lozana, some are coming from Jersey, so they don't have, they're not residents there. So their voice is constantly being muffled, constantly being silenced, and they're constantly being ignored. So what we're working around homophobia, transphobia, and other forms of oppression, and mainly displacement. Because our people are getting, our community isn't being listened to because we're young, because we're gay, and because we're of color.
We are an organization that provides legal services to SRO tenants, and we also do tenant organizing. SRO meaning single room occupancy tenants. Our territory extends from west of Manhattan, from 14th Street to Inwood, and usually this includes, SRO usually includes boarding houses, hotels, which means tenants live in one bedroom place and they share a bathroom or kitchen. About 100,000 units have been lost over the past several decades of SRO housing. Along with this, a great loss of public housing, public assistance, has been diminishing, the shrinking of welfare programs, and all this combines to create massive displacement and homelessness.
Everywhere we look in the Lower East Side, we see development and landlord harassment. City agencies do not enforce their own laws. Many of our members are in struggles with city agencies. Just to give you an example of how all of these issues are interconnected, the Bowery is a street of the Lower East Side which extends from 4th Street all the way down into the next neighborhood, which is Chinatown. Well, the city has refused to rezone the Bowery. It's currently commercially zoned, which means that they're going to start building hotels, expensive hotels, all the way down the Bowery. This is the mayor's program to develop New York, push us all out.
Estamos aquí para presentar una canción y también para hacer un número de teatro donde vamos a demostrar nuestro trabajo y nuestra organización en Cushman.
La renta sube mucho y a nadie le importa. El dueño amenaza que me vaya de mi casa. Ay, Dios mío, un condominio en el frente, pobre de nuestra gente. Nos sacan del vecindario, ya le pasó a Candelario. La rata come todo, el chinche chupa sangre y vive gratis, no paga renta. El mos anda por toda la casa. Fíjate, me asma. La basura sí apesta y el olor sí que cuesta. La gotera, ay, la gotera. La gotera por donde quiera corriendo. Y mi marido, ay, mi marido. El agua gota, gota y el marido que me bota. Y el infierno no se vaya. La calefacción no trabaja y el frío no relaja. El mos, ah, la pintura. Ay, 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 hay plomo por toda la casa. La gotera y están chorreando y ustedes no están bromeando.
Llamo a los inspectores y no tienen traductores.
We know that it's because of profit that members are doing this, but the government is also allowing them to do that.
For example, tenemos conciencia de que el departamento de HPD no importa las leyes como debe ser su trabajo y tiene favoritismo por los caseros ricos. quieren sacar de las calles a los vendedores ambulantes, quieren quitar la esquina de las pequeñas tiendas y los pequeños restaurantes que tenemos en la zona. A la zona venga gente con dinero a tener sus inversiones, sus grandes restaurantes, tiendas lujosas y todo lo que trae.
The state facilitates capital development and it also subsidizes real estate development. They're in complete contradiction to tenants' goals and rights. Because the state has these laws that are in contradiction to its own goals, they don't have an interest in enforcing them.
The money that is driving real estate, the money that is driving the gentrification that we're seeing in New York and all over the country, actually, is due to neoliberal globalization.
Neoliberalismo es el sistema económico de Estados Unidos y de todo el mundo. El sistema económico está controlado por el machismo, por hombres, mayoritariamente blancos, y nos hace víctimas a todos que somos diferentes, homosexuales, lesbianas, transexuales, indígenas, gente de color, todas las otras diferencias.
That capitalism is free to dominate the entire world, and too bad, you have to resign yourself and conform and not make a racket. In other words, not rebel. But it is not so easy for neoliberal globalization because the exploited of each country don't conform, and they do not say, well, too bad. Instead, they rebel.
Hoy en el proceso del barrio tenemos el pensamiento de que podemos representarnos por nosotros mismos. Utilizamos diferentes estrategias, llevamos a la corte, hacemos protestas, conferencias de prensa. En cada edificio formamos un comité de inquilinos. Y este comité de inquilinos, que son las personas afectadas, son las que toman decisiones, cómo es que van a llevar su lucha. Y el resto de la organización que no vive en ese edificio, pues apoyamos. Que no toda la comunidad es miembro de nuestra organización, entonces no podemos decidir por ellos. Entonces realizamos lo que nosotros llamamos la consulta del barrio y preguntamos a la comunidad hacia dónde debemos ir nosotros como organización. Inquilinos que se han organizado contra sus caseros, hemos ganado todos los casos y no hemos perdido hasta ahora ningún caso. Uno de los logros que tuvimos fue que un casero llamado Steven Scherzner, que tiene 47 edificios en el barrio, él dijo que nosotros no íbamos a poder con él, que teníamos que irnos de sus edificios. Cuando él se fue y vendió sus edificios, los compró una compañía que Londres se llama Downing Day Group. Entonces los compró esta compañía que es internacional, intercontinental, que está por todo el mundo, los 5 continentes, tiene propiedades, trabajando para crear relaciones con grupos de pobres que nos ayuden a luchar contra Downing Day Group. Todo el trabajo que he mencionado, a las decisiones que se toman para hacer este tipo de trabajo son por los miembros. No trabajamos con políticos, creemos que nosotros podemos tomar nuestras propias decisiones y que podemos representarnos con nosotros mismos. Por ejemplo, hemos tenido experiencia con Mark Viveritos, la concejal de nuestra de aquí del barrio. Uno de los lo que hizo recientemente fue que quiso comprar uno de nuestros miembros.
Ellos eran enviados por la concejal. Ella pretendía. Me ofrecieron dinero, un sueldo, con 3 días a la semana, trabajar nada más ciertas horas y trabajar con ellos y que abandonara Movimiento por Justicia del Barrio. Yo sé que es por parte de la concejal. Así es que mi respuesta es no, diré que gracias, que tengo dignidad y que mi dignidad no tiene precio.
Entonces,
房东两个房东给我们开会，我们要求他们给我们维修，但是他们如果不给我们维修了，我们就不交房租。我们看租三个月，然后呢，逼着房东呢答应我们给我们维修，我们把房东也告上，法庭罚房东9000块，然后呢。
房东呢没走办法，也只好赔偿我们每个住客，看租的住客3000块。我们现在还在连同其他社区组织在这里就是里面讨论，争取双语服务的方案，因为。 我们住客有太多的问题，因为我们不能讲英文，所以需要双语服务这个方案。而且我们还是城市权利里面的一份子。我们连同在纽约市也有一些组织是我们是他们的联盟。
Basically, in the past, Versus has to deal with residents of the village and other people harassing our group. And basically, the pier, like we said before, is a safe area. And we actually got the pier to close at 1 a.m. instead of 10 o'clock p.m. And we are trying to work for more affordable food and housing of bathrooms on the pier. One of our new campaigns right now, we're trying to work on having a cop watch program, an ongoing program for our youth, so we can actually report to have formal community policing for ourselves instead of having to worry about being arrested for reporting our crimes to the cops.
As a start to this, we started doing Know Your Rights training. So just in case you do get stopped by the police, if you know what to do and how to act and how to react when they get pushed by the cops.
We're also part of some coalition, the People's Justice Coalition, which is starting, in the works of starting a citywide cop watch program, and we're also part of Right to the City. And yeah, I mean, the campaign, we work on a Pier 40, Pier 45 kind of cop watch program. So we see abuse of police power as an enemy, and right now, HRPT, yeah,
there
we go. So, cool.
We run and participate in this illegal hotels campaign, which is fighting against the illegal conversion of SRO buildings into hotels where people can, landlords can make more money off of tourists that are coming into the city. We're also a part of Tenants United Against Harassment, which is trying to get a law in the city that will create a mechanism for tenants to defend themselves in court against all different types of harassment.
Pudo deshacer que el ejército federal se le preparara, que el ejército federal